Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Luke chapter 14, and we shall read again from the beginning. Luke chapter 14 from verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go, and answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And so on. As we have said before, the miracles of Christ often displayed both his power and his pity. The compassion of the Lord Jesus comes out again and again in his performing of miracles. And this evening we want to focus primarily upon the pity of Christ, his compassion. And looking at this miracle before us, the healing of the man with the dropsy, we would notice first the miracle itself, and secondly, the mercy. The mercy of Christ as it comes out in the miracle and in his teaching. So we begin with the miracle itself. The Lord received an invitation to a meal in the home of one of the Pharisees. And we are told that he was one of the chief Pharisees. Now, this doesn't mean that he was the head of the sect of the Pharisees, but probably he was one who was not only a Pharisee, but also a member of the great Sanhedrin, the Jewish body of leadership. Well, he was a prominent Pharisee indeed, and he invited the Savior to a meal. And so Christ was one of his guests at his home on the Sabbath day. And perhaps it should be pointed out that the Lord was probably traveling and away from his usual place of abode, and he went into the home of this Pharisee in order to do good. But though he was invited, it was not necessarily a warm invitation, because we read that they watched him. And there was probably more than a desire that he would be a guest of honor. They were watching him closely, probably in order to find something the Savior might do or say that would be a ground of accusation against him. They were ready to examine his every word and action in order to find something that they could use in order to accuse him. And probably the great question was, or at least one of them was, would he keep the Sabbath? And so here is a man in the house who has a disease. He had the dropsy. So the Pharisees have their opportunity. Here is a man right before them who needs medical attention. And what was the Savior going to do? What was his response to the presence of this man with the dropsy? Well, we might ask also, did the Pharisees put this man here on purpose in order to provide a snare for the Savior? Well, not necessarily, because even though the man with the dropsy may not have been invited, yet access into homes in these days, in this part of the world, was more or less permitted to the public, especially in times of excitement. People could just walk in, and they would not be necessarily unwelcome. But on this occasion, no doubt, the Pharisees allowed this man to be present all the more readily because they looked at it as an opportunity to test the Lord Jesus. And behold, there was a man, a certain man before him, which had the dropsy. Now, the dropsy, what is that? Well, it's a swelling that occurs on account of the accumulation of fluid in the body. And dropsy is from the Greek, basically meaning suffering from water. Suffering from water. And you'll notice the word dropsy has the word dro, and you think of hydro, that which has to do with water, all coming from the root meaning suffering from water. And one commentator points out that this abnormal accumulation of fluid is not only serious in itself, but is also a sign of illness affecting the kidneys, liver, blood, and or the heart. And again, he points out that the rabbis were of the opinion that the person that was afflicted in this way had committed a grievous sin. Well, we know that that is not necessarily the case. But he was suffering from water, and his limbs were swelling. He had the dropsy. So what is the reaction of the Lord Jesus to this, the presence of this man with the dropsy? He doesn't wait for the Pharisees to pose any question. The Lord Jesus himself speaks, and he asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? This is the question that he posed to the lawyers and Pharisees. Is it lawful or no? And we see here that they held their peace. They were silent. They didn't answer him. And the fact seems to be that the rabbis, most of them, believe that the healing of the sick or the handicapped, the disabled on the Sabbath was not allowed unless there was a real probability that to delay it would be fatal. It had to be a life-threatening situation in order to permit any healing on the Sabbath day. But, again, it's been pointed out, since they were silent on this occasion after the Lord Jesus asked this question, well, they would not have any ground to stand on later on if they tried to accuse him. They had their opportunity to answer. So if the Lord Jesus heals him, they have nothing to say. So what is the outcome? If you had never read this story before, and yet you had come across the other accounts of the Lord Jesus healing, and not only healing on other days, but on the Sabbath day, there would be no question. You would probably expect the right outcome, because you know that the Savior is full of compassion as well. And the Lord Jesus had sympathy for those who suffered. Here is a man with the dropsy, suffering from water, the swelling of his limbs from the accumulation of fluid in his body. What is the Lord Jesus going to do? Well, clearly we read that he healed him and let him go. And he took him and healed him and let him go. He didn't wait a moment longer. The Lord Jesus did not say to him, you must wait till tomorrow when you have a lawful opportunity for healing. No, the Lord Jesus healed him then and there. And so we see, and we'll come to this more in a moment, the compassion of Christ and the mercy of the Lord Jesus, healing and healing on the Sabbath day. And how ready the Lord Jesus is to heal souls. If he's so ready to heal the body, can we not conclude that he is ready to heal the soul, to deliver sinners from spiritual sickness, the disease of the soul, that disease called sin? I am the Lord that healeth thee, and the Lord is able to save us from this loathsome disease, even sin. Do we recognize how ready the Lord Jesus is to heal the soul? And we one more point before we move on to the Lord's mercy in the second place. We see that he let him go. He let the man with the dropsy go. And this suggests that the man had come for this particular purpose, to be healed by the Lord Jesus. He didn't come to have dinner with an important Pharisee. He came for Jesus. He came to be healed. He had a need. He knew that only Jesus could heal him. And that is a question for us. Do we recognize our own need? And why do we come to the house of God, to church? Why do we come at all? And that's a question we should ask ourselves. Do we come just to see our friends? Or to put it like this, for the children, what do you look forward to when you come to church? What do you look forward to when you come to the house of God? Is it the nice time you might have with friends after church? You look forward to seeing your friends? Well, it's good to have friends. We should be thankful for friends. But I have to say this, my dear friends, that if that's the only thing you look forward to when you come to church, if that's the only thing you look forward to is to see your friends, then it's evidence you still do not have a new heart. You're still without Christ. Christ has not taken residence in your heart. He is not on the throne of your soul, because he was in your heart, on the throne of your soul, reigning in your heart. Then you would look forward to hearing about Christ in church. And I only say that to press upon you the need of a new heart. And you need it before it's too late and you perish without grace, without Christ, and you go to hell. And then there's no hope for you if you are in hell. Cry out to the Lord for grace, for a new heart, for mercy, that he would have mercy upon you. Do you deserve a new heart? None of us do. We don't deserve grace. We don't deserve spiritual life. This is amazing grace. It is God's grace that he gives freely. So pray for it, that you would receive it from him freely. And ask for mercy, the mercy of God in Christ. Yes, and that's what we consider in the second place, the mercy, the Lord's pity, his compassion. So the question is, was it right for the Lord to heal on the Sabbath day? The Lord asked it in the first place, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And now, after he heals the man, they were silent. He takes the man with the dropsy, he heals him and lets him go. And now he asks a second question. Verse 5, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Suppose an animal had fallen into a pit. What would their reaction be? Suppose it had fallen in a pit on the Sabbath day. And recognize also that the word pit is literally a well. You can see it in the Greek. It is a well. It's a well of water. Maybe it can be a dry well, but think of that. This animal has fallen into a well and he's ready to drown. There would be no hesitation. All the Pharisees would be the first to lift this animal out of the well. If one of their livestock had fallen into a well, they would immediately lift it out. And so the Lord argues from the lesser to the greater. If they would rescue an animal, a beast, on the Sabbath day, how much more should they rescue a man on the Sabbath day? It's very much the same with the man who had the withered hand. He was there in the synagogue, and the Lord Jesus told him to stand forth. And the question again is asked, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And the Lord reasons with them. And he says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And the answer is probably, yes, of course he will. And so the Lord continues, how much then is a man better than a sheep? He argues from the lesser to the greater. If they will lift a sheep out of the pit, of course they will lift a man. And here is a man who's in a pit. And the Lord says, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Here is a man with a dropsy, and he's literally in a pit or a well, suffering from water. The Lord Jesus uses apt illustrations. He uses analogies that are very appropriate. Remember the woman who was bound with an infirmity 18 years? And the Lord Jesus healed her in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We read that she was bound, and the analogy that the Lord Jesus uses is the loosing of an ox. He says to the ruler of the synagogue, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So the animal is bound to a pole, perhaps, and needs to be let loose in order to go to the watering. And the Lord Jesus loosed this woman. She was bound over, bent double. Her back was bent, and the Lord loosed her, and she stood upright. The Lord loosed her, and that on the Sabbath day. So the man with the dropsy, he was suffering from water. It's like he was drowning in his own body with limbs swelling. And the Lord says, he uses the analogy of an animal fallen into a well, sinking in water, ready to suffer in the water, and the owner doesn't hesitate to deliver it from that well. So just to point out that the Lord uses appropriate illustrations. And now he continues to reason with the Pharisees. I'm thinking again about the man with the withered hand. The same teaching continues. The Lord says, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And Mark's gospel has it basically to save life or to kill it. And that is what it comes down to. This is the principle that the Lord Jesus narrows the whole teaching down to. And that is, to neglect the opportunity of doing good is to do harm. To neglect the opportunity of doing good is to do harm. Not to do good when it is in your power to do good, not to do it, is to do evil. It is the equivalent of doing evil. So not to save life when you have the power of doing so is to destroy. It is to kill. And that is a principle that we should act upon. Failing to do good, having the opportunity, having the means, and sitting back pretending like we don't, or that nothing is happening, that is to actually to kill or to destroy in the eyes of the Lord. So this is the reasoning of the Lord to the Pharisees with when the man with the withered hand was present before them. And going back to the man with the dropsy, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. They were silenced. They at first would not answer him. When he asked the first question, they held their peace. And when he asked the second question, they were silent because they could not answer him. They did not want to admit that they were wrong. They were defeated. But let's think about the pity, the mercy of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is not harsh. The Lord is merciful. And imagine what rigor and harshness it would be if someone had an illness which caused much pain and discomfort, and it was a Sabbath day, and there was a doctor sitting in the room, but he said to him, though you are in so much pain and so much discomfort, Yet I have examined you, and you are not in a life-threatening condition. It's not fatal, and therefore I must not give you the medicine that would help you, because it's the Sabbath day. Now that would be harsh. That would be rigorous. And this is very far from the mind of Christ. And the Lord in this miracle is showing us his mercy. And he will have us show mercy as well. The Lord didn't wait a moment longer, but healed this man. He healed the woman who was bound. He healed the man with the withered hand. The Lord will have mercy and not sacrifice. That is not the main thing. The main thing is mercy. The Lord does not give us harsh commands. He does command us what is good. And the law is the expression of his will. The law is holy and just and good. So the point is that what God reveals to us as to our duty is good for us. It is not hurtful. It doesn't harm us. It is not harsh. It is not rigorous. And the Lord requires us to keep the Sabbath day holy. He also makes allowances for works of necessity and mercy. And this is part of the way in which we keep the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good. We're not to invent ways and go out of our way to find someone we can help. That's not what the Sabbath is for. But if we come across someone who needs us and needs our help and attention, that is very different. And if someone, if a loved one is in swelling pain and great discomfort, and you have the medicine but think that you can't administer it because it's a Sabbath, well, that's wrong. The Lord does not forbid that. It is not just a life-threatening situation that calls for doing good. Now, I have to stop, and I think it's obvious that the danger in our day, of course, is that people will push the principle of the works of necessity and mercy too far, and they will begin to call anything done on the Sabbath a work of necessity and mercy when it's really unnecessary. For example, it's not a work of necessity and mercy to return a dish that was borrowed a month ago, to return it on the Sabbath day. That's not a work of necessity or mercy. And it doesn't become a work of necessity and mercy just because it's convenient for us. And perhaps if there was more love for the Sabbath day, all of us would avoid doing those things that are unnecessary and only hinder us in keeping the day holy. But the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and there's a Pharisee in all of us, a self-righteous principle, and a legalistic principle, which is the tendency to rely upon things that we do in order to gain acceptance with God. And the Pharisees thought they could keep a set of rules, and if they followed them, they could win heaven by their good works. But again, keeping the law of God is more than following a set of rules. Keeping the Sabbath day involves more than just making sure we don't go outside at the wrong time or we don't mow the lawn or whatever. Keeping the Sabbath involves seeking rest in Christ. And keeping the Ten Commandments begins with love to the Ten Commandments. And again, friends, children, young people, everyone, we do not even begin to keep the Ten Commandments without a new heart. We need a new heart if we're truly going to keep the commandments. There needs to be a love for God's law. Pray for a new heart. Pray for saving grace. And we have not begun to keep the commandments until we have obeyed the great commandment, the gospel commandment, which is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be saved. No, we are not obedient to God's will, not in the way that God sees it. It may be an outward conformity that looks like obedience to man, but it is not obedience in God's sight unless it's from a principle of grace and love, and if it's looking to Christ for acceptance. Oh, how we need Christ. How we need the merciful Savior. The Son of God, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you feel unable to believe? As we've said before, ask Him to enable you. It is your duty to believe, but be thankful that He gives grace to believe. If you feel you cannot come to Jesus, ask Him to bring you. And again, see how ready He is to save, how willing He is to help. If He was so ready to heal the body, He is ready to heal the soul. He is merciful. He's a willing, gracious Savior. And He gives the grace to live for Him. And if we are truly the Lord's people, we will be like Paul, who delighted in the law of God after the inward man. God is saying, "My son, give me thine heart." If we have given the Lord our heart, we have given Him our all, and the rest will follow. And then, with true love to God, as Augustine puts it, you will do as you please. Love God and do as you please. That's amazing. You say, how can that be? It's not amazing, because if you love God, what pleases Him will please you. And that, my friends, is a wonderful position to be in. To love those things and do those things that please Him. The Lord works it in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And true love for Christ, it does not involve indifference to His precepts. It works carefulness in us. And if we are laying hold of the tender mercies of God in the forgiveness of sins, He will enable us to cherish a tender conscience, to do those things that please Him. David prayed for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Yes, Christ is full of mercy and pity. His miracles show that so clearly. And if we have received mercy from Him, we will show mercy to others. And we will desire to teach others the right ways of the Lord. And we will keep on going to Jesus Himself for forgiveness and for grace, to heal our souls, to heal our backsliding, knowing that a bruised reed He will not break, and smoking flax He will not quench. And how thankful we should be that He will not break our already broken hearts, but He will bind us up in the bundle of life. So let us pray that He will still draw us by His power, draw us by His pity and mercy, with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. It may have been a long time ago since we felt that drawing and that comfort and that pity and compassion in our souls. But the Apostle Paul says that God sheds abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He gave you grace in the first place. The Holy Spirit will never depart from you, and He will assure you of His love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. It seems a long time ago, but He says to you, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And they held their peace, and He took him and healed him and let him go. May He bless His word. Let us pray.